Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And good evening. Good afternoon or good morning, whatever the case may be, wherever you may be listening to us at. This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. I think I'm going to change the tagline instead of where truth can't be silenced to, if you're not pissed off yet, you're not paying attention. And if that sounds offensive, no apologies from this end. HagmanReport.com, that's Hagman, H-A-G-M-A-N-N, HagmanReport.com for all of the show information, the episode, links to the episode content, links to things like the satellite phone store. Oh, have you gotten yours yet? If not, you better hurry up. Go to the satellite phone store and the link will be in the program description box. Get your satellite phone. The reason being, they're running out. They might have, I don't know how many left, but not that many. Satellitephonestore.com. Again, link in the program description box there. And also, let me just self-indulgent plug here. Folks, I want to thank you. 18 countries, over 18, or 18 countries, 19,000 sold in the dark of night. If you haven't read this or gotten this either at Amazon or HagmanStore.com, please do so. This is a real-life, names have been changed, but real-life account of an investigation into the dark side, and it really mirrors the investigations taking place right now that Russ Dizdar and his team and I've been privileged to be a part of. Right now it's floating about a 4.8 rating on Amazon, and it's got many good reviews across the globe, so I want to thank you for that. Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com, is joining me today. Folks, if you haven't done this as well, you know, Extinction Protocols was perhaps, at least in my view, is one of the most absolutely stunning, predictive, prophetic, anointed, I'll use that word, conferences ever. So, folks, you can either get your video on demand or the DVDs. And I'm going to tell you, either one is you've got to get one or the other, because when you watch this, you will just be absolutely blown away. And yes, it's still, look, it took place earlier this year in June, but I'm telling you right now, everything that was talked about, discussed, and what is yet to come is in there. So go to GenSix.com for, to grab yours today.
It's and Steve's newest project.
Oh, go ahead, please. Mega drought, vanishing water. You know, it's interesting when water evaporates, and that I use that term deliberately. When water evaporates, people get a little bit antsy. Not a little bit antsy; they get very antsy. Mega drought is coming, and I want to thank you, Eric the Tech, for mentioning this. It's available. It'll be available here with God's help here this month. Mega drought, vanishing water. This is again one of the most important informational downloads that you'll ever receive. And if you're in a, you know, Steve used to say, you always want to be in a place, or I can't remember what he said, exactly what he said. You don't want to be where everyone is, when things, you know, go to pot. And then this will tell you, man, you don't want to be in certain areas of the country when this becomes even darker reality. Now, Steve Quayle is with me, stevequayle.com. That's stevequayle.com. Again, link in the program description box. Laura Logan, we are working on getting her. Okay. So and Steve will explain here on the other side. But starting out this program to lay the foundation, because we have stuff going on in Afghanistan. And oh, by the way, the left, I don't know how many people saw this just very quickly. The left had blocked an act to bring back the Americans still over in Afghanistan. And Steve's got a lot to say about that. And so you can thank Pelosi and company, although this is not political. This is globalist versus everyone else, but the left is spearheading this. They're blocking the evacuation of Americans. They blocked the bill to compel the evacuations of Americans. How dare those bastards? Yes, you heard me. How dare them? And also bringing back, whatever's left of the $90 million worth of equipment. Let's play clip one right now. This kind of gives you an idea, a taste of the state of the Union today. Go ahead.
Afghanistan cannot be used as a terrorist base.
That Afghanistan has become the Disneyland for terrorists.
We plan for every contingency.
Total chaos.
It is heartbreaking. It is depressing. It's a failure. And he needs to own that failure.
Bear responsibility for all that's happened.
He did not admit any mistakes. He did not offer any change of course. He says we're going to continue forward.
He really isn't taking responsibility.
Mr. Biden, you did this. You made the deal with the Taliban. This is the consequences of it. Go to hell, Biden!
Tens of thousands of people are being left behind.
There's American citizens left. We're going to struggle to get them all out.
We did not get everybody out.
Dozens and dozens of U.S. citizens went to the airport, and the gates never opened.
The mission hasn't failed yet.
If this isn't failure, what does failure look like exactly?
But there's to be.
Walk away, Joe. Walk away. All right, that was that's a political ad, but it's very true. None of that is exaggerated. Clip two is 21 seconds. You think that this is all politics? It's not. All right. So, in case you haven't seen this yet, folks, the Taliban over there using the equipment that you paid for. That's right. And I'm talking to you Biden voters, by the way. And look, I know all about November 3rd. Okay. November 3rd, we've got to get to the bottom of November 3rd. It was stolen, but I'm talking about you people out there with this leftist, communist, socialist, Islamist, Sharia ideology. You people out there, you've got blood on your hands. You put this moron, Mr. Marbles, in office and Heels Up Harris in office, okay? Or you at least helped do that because you didn't like the bad, Orange Man bad, his mean tweets. They offended you, all right? So that's – blood is on your hands. So if you think that that's just politics, well, let's just see right now in the next 20 seconds with this 20-second clip – exactly what they're, of course, wait. No, it's a lie. Fact checkers say there's no usable equipment over there in Afghanistan. We didn't leave any use. Bull. You know what? Watch this. Oh, by the way, I can talk over this. See those trucks? Those are your tax dollars at work. You paid for those. You and I paid for those. And communist Joe Biden and company and the globalists supplied the Taliban with that equipment. Wouldn't that be nice to have somebody drop a Humvee or, whatever. At least part of the $90 billion, on your lap and say, here, go buy yourself a truck with a turret. Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com. Steve, how you doing, my brother?
Doug, and I want people to really start thinking in contextual accuracy. You saw the abandonment of U.S. citizens. You saw the abandonment. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, what is happening in Afghanistan is a preview of what's going to happen in the United States of America. You can't tell me, no one can tell me, that they couldn't get the American citizens out. There was a reason it was done so quickly. The order which came, and by the way, I'm on record as stating that the generals that were responsible for this immediate fleeing in the night from Bagram Air Force Base and obviously the days following from Kabul, they should all resign. Never in the history of the U.S. military has there been such a clear picture of treason, treachery, and betrayal. And Doug, it was $95 billion worth of stuff. And some of that stuff, ladies and gentlemen, is 16,000 pairs of the most sophisticated night vision binoculars. What was critical, though, that none of the lying demon infested mainstream accessory to murder press is even talking about is all the amount of terrorists trained in the battlefields of the Mideast coming into the United States. And now they're coming in with some of the most sophisticated night vision optics and their special forces. That picture that mimicked the famous Marine picture at, on the battle, Iwo Jima, you know, they mimic, they're mocking. So what's happening, they, meaning the Taliban, are preparing to basically equip their advanced members in the United States. Now, listen, the Taliban is a Taliban, but the traitors in Washington, even Doug, as you and I are going to be talking about this, and God willing, we get Laura on to talk about Afghanistan, because nobody can talk about it from being there, having been there, one of the bravest women in the world, in my opinion, what she's gone through as a matter of public record. And she knew so many of these people. And by the way,
please hang on. We're working on getting her on. Okay.
Thank you for leaving that up, Eric. Blessings to you. Yeah. This is what was left behind.
That's right.
I missed it by 35 night vision. But when you start looking at the, mine-proof vehicles, the Bradley fighting vehicles, and also the tanks, which, by the way, are headed to Iran, interestingly enough. And can you scroll up? Is there some more on the bottom? There you go. When you're looking at 64,363 machine guns, those are belt-fed squad automatic weapons. And the thing is that that's a lot of firepower, 176 artillery pieces. But what really gets problematic, if you scroll down even further, Eric, is the amount of Blackhawks there. Somebody said the Taliban now is a better equipped army than Australia. Okay? That's a powerful statement.
Yep.
And ladies and gentlemen, you're talking about, you know, some serious stuff. The MI-17s, which are the Russian helicopters, all the things you're seeing there are designed and they're going to be used to take on everything and everyone. And Doug, here's the problem, in my opinion. When people say $95 billion, that's just a number that most people can't relate to. But you watch, ladies and gentlemen, I think we have to deal with this, Doug, first and foremost. The treachery of the United States military now knows no bounds, because even in the White House and even the Pentagon, I find this hard to believe, but I've been told it's happening, that people that are close to the Biden administration are shocked. And so when we say, Doug, all of us who have been on your program and the times you and I have talked about it, that no one's coming to your rescue, brothers and sisters, there you have it. And the church is silent. Now, God bless Franklin Graham and Samaritan's Purse, and especially Glenn Beck. God bless him. But he's on record as saying they were stopped by the State Department.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, they went to rescue 400 women who have been now taken to call what are called the rape camps. Little girls put in coffins. This isn't conservative bull manure. This is reality. And the fact that people aren't outraged, the fact that people aren't calling those sniveling, freaking cowardly congressmen and senators, and even Mitch McConnell says, oh, well, this is nothing. We're not going to impeach Biden. We'll vote him out. Ladies and gentlemen, we went into Iraq. We bought off the generals. We bought off the generals. And I'm telling you, a lot of the generals are bought off. And I'm talking millions. I know one. I could name him. I won't. Just because I don't want to deal with the aftermath. But, you know, when you got generals, U.S. military generals getting $2 million a year pop from their Chinese benefactors, I don't think their allegiance is to the United States. And Doug, here it is. I want to turn right back to you. Even in all of this horror, we heard the most treacherous and treasonous bit of information came out yesterday, that the bomb that killed the Marines and just slaughtered the vehicle that blew up, they had them in a Predator drone site, They requested permission to fire, and someone denied them the permission to fire. And the State Department's implicated in this. And we even saw the State Department, and I didn't know this. I didn't know they could carry that much weight and tell American citizens, you're screwed. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm on record as saying, before this happened, the occult ceremonies taking place in Washington, D.C., your fellow Americans, my fellow Americans, and you better suck it up and listen to what I'm saying. You'd better understand that was a blood sacrifice. And isn't it interesting? White, and I'm sorry, white American lives, that's not a racist statement, it's a real statement. And black American lives, that's not a racist statement, it's a realistic statement. And anybody who was an interpreter, who, by the way, are having their tongues cut out by the Taliban. And now, even today, Doug, FEMA is saying the most deadly people in the world are the anti-vaxxers. And we'll get to that in the second hour of the show. But what has to happen, and I don't believe it's possible now, outside of the people of God, the Bible says they that are wise will see and understand, okay? God's not going to leave his children in the dark, but here's the deal. If God's kids want to stay in the dark and basically just bitch and moan, on the phone and on the keyboard, because our brothers and sisters are left. I'm talking about fellow Americans. And for the record, I am involved, and how do I say this carefully? I am involved in trying to get those people out in a real way. So I can just say this, Doug, and I want to say this because I am pissed off, okay? When someone sends me an email, a guy's a coward, his name is George, didn't have a last name, or I call him out by last name, and says, if you were a good Christian, you wouldn't use the word pissed off. And I'm saying this. I said, I'm not a good Christian. I'm a redeemed one. But the point is, Doug, here's the deal. There is no even concern for human life. We are a blood-soaked nation. We are a blood-drenched nation. And for us to turn a blind eye on what's going on in Afghanistan, and when the Samaritan's Purse and Glenn Beck and others have raised $20, $30, $40 million, and our government blocks the redemption of our fellows, citizens, men, women, and children. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, this country is finished. It's done. It's over. You're watching 27 pilots walk off the flight line because they're going to be mandatory back. You're watching the Navy. This is all related to Afghanistan. By the way, none of those 200,000 plus relocated Afghanis have vaccine passports. They are not even being vetted for terrorist ties. So this is a day to be furious. But let your fury and my fury turn to doing something. Go ahead, Doug.
Two issues, Steve, and I think it's important for people to really understand exactly this. Going back to what you said earlier. Now, 13 of our service members were killed in a homicide bombing, 25 pounds of explosive shrapnel killing, again, 13. And that's when Joe kept checking his watch, actually 13 times, as the bodies were unloaded at Dover, that piece of crap. So, but what's really infuriating is the U.S. military did have a drone lock on the homicide bomber, the Kabul homicide bomber. They did not take the shot. And here's the bottom line on that. Again, this is part one of two. A former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Western Hemisphere Affairs, Roger Pardo Maurer, spoke about the suicide bombing at Kabul International Airport on Thursday, saying that the department, now listen to this, the Department of Defense already knew who the bomber was. They had the identity. Again, they killed 13 of our service members. And they said permission was requested to take out the bomber in an area where that would have been no other casualties, and was denied. The reason? Well, we were in the process of negotiating with the Taliban. Okay, that should infuriate everyone. Now, the second part of that, Steve, in the event Laura cannot come on for reasons, and folks, you have to understand, there's a lot of moving parts going on right now. So, I was on the phone with Steve Quayle, who was on the phone with Laura Logan Laura Logan, who was talking with somebody in Afghanistan, and they were trying, they were begging for help to get out. And Steve, if you want to relay the conversation, you could probably do it better than I can. The emotion, the tears, the heartbreak, the angst of Laura.
Hearing Laura's tears, and I don't think she mind saying this, because people she knew were calling her desperate, asking for help. There was nothing she could do. And then there would be gunshots in the background, and there'd be no more voices in the background. The man that was hung from the helicopter of ours, which was left in Afghanistan, was personally known to her. Many of the translators, many of the people that she knows are still desperate to get out. There's some spec ops guys. God bless you. I've never been in the military, but my heart salutes you. That's not a Nazi sign. My heart, thank you for what you guys are doing, what you men and women are doing. You veterans, my heart salutes you. The reason I did that, I don't want anybody to say, oh, he just gave a Nazi salute. No, seriously, my heart, you know, heart. I don't know how to do that. But the bottom line is, thank you guys. Thank you, men and women. Thank those of you who said, this is crazy. But Doug, the most insane thing is, well, you know, we protect our fighting men in every way it used to, give them the best training used to, and they fought for values that we used to have. Now we're telling those same fighting men, you have to take a mutagenic strain of an unproven vaccine, and no, the FDA did not approve it. And you have to basically watch the videos and see what's going on. India vaccinated its army, and they're dropping dead on the spot. I'm on record, and again, I want to say this. Middle finger salutes to all you critics, because you didn't hear the podcast when Doug and I were talking about Shen Ping, a economist with ties to the bioweapons world of China, CCP, Chinese Communist Party member, saying, we defeated the United States with our bioweapon. Doug, that's an exact quote. And then the idea was, well, gee, how are they going to defeat the United States? Well, they did it to our economy. But more so now, you can't have a fighting force. You have to worry about coming up against a fighting force if everybody's dying. And like, there's a wonderful, wonderful story from some people that are suing the federal government and suing the Defense Department. And I know people in that world. And they're saying, Steve, we will walk before we will let them kill us. And those are their words. And now you're going to see, you know, you're going to see showcase, martial law, or not martial law, forgive me. We'll see that. We'll talk about that in the second hour. But the bottom line is, you're going to see showcase military tribunals. You're going to see those who would speak up, stand up, and fight for this country brought before military courts, and they're going to show you that how dare anybody tell the truth. And I'm telling you point blank, brothers and sisters, you can just say, I'm going to do nothing. Well, when Jesus comes, I'll go. And if they kill me, they kill me. You have no clue of what that even means. And I'm telling you point blank, everyone, that this should be the most this should be the most extreme wake up call any nation could ever have before its utter destruction. And Doug, we got to talk, remind me, we got to talk about all the nuclear weapons being moved and all the radiation counts going on through Europe, going on through Asia. We're talking about everybody's getting emotions. So, yes. You know, I hope that, Laura Logan just sent me an email, and I told her she can call in Doug whenever. And she said, no worries. Well, we got it because of her. She has to get permission and all this stuff. But I'll tell you one thing, ladies and gentlemen, that the amount of, how should I say this, contempt, and I'll say this too, the woke military, my guess is it's just like the whole country. 50% of the woke military will go along, and believe me, just like that thing, and I don't know what to call it, it was a thing, a military thing talking about she won't hesitate to kill Americans when she's ordered to. Do you see that? Do you know which video I'm talking about there?
I don't, Steve. Okay. I don't.
Well, it was a literal, I think it was a woman. I'm sorry, but it was hard to tell.
Oh, no, I do know. Yes, I had a, okay. it was, and you're right. Okay. When you said, I think it was a woman, it's hard to tell. Now I know what you're talking about. Yeah. It was Bronson was her name.
Yes. Yes. So ladies and gentlemen, Doug, let me ask you this. You've been in so many as an investigator, and I know you, I know your answer, but I want people to hear from you. What happens with the evidence is just so overwhelming. Does the court continue on, or does the judge basically say enough, or don't the plaintiff's attorneys rest their case? Yeah, what is going on in the world, okay, right now, as the rest of the world looks at the United States of America, at what we did to our closest allies, a 20-year experience in Afghanistan. We just threw them to the dogs, literally. We just threw our women away to be raped until their insides are on their outsides.
Yep.
Oh, and forget about little kids. They're not free from this either, because the history of that area is one of just absolute pedophilia and everything else that goes along with that. I'm trying to really be tame and gentle, but the bottom line is I can't. I'm furious. So, ladies and gentlemen, what, and Doug, when is the court, when is the evidence enough?
It's in the rear view mirror, in my view. Look, we're dealing with the court of public opinion. Unfortunately, the public, or at least the vast majority of the public, are mind numbed. They're dumbed down by design. And I'm not talking to the audience. Please, present company excluded, with a few exceptions. And you know who you are. You know, we have sufficient evidence to prove a criminal conspiracy by a global criminal cabal. Okay, so we've got that. You've got sufficient evidence, and I'm talking evidence direct as opposed to indirect or anecdotal, of a theft of an election on November 3rd, 2019. You've got direct evidence, and again, not anecdotal or not indirect, but direct evidence of communists and globalists running the show, you know, where Biden and Harris, heels up Harris, are the faces for that. So you've got all of this evidence, but you've got a jury pool, in my view, of mind-numbed, vaxxed, compromised, mentally compromised people who can't, whose attention span is 140 characters or 30 seconds or whatever, you know, the shortest video post TikTok video would be. TikTok, of course, you know, China. So, you know, that's where we're at. So you are actually, sometimes, you know, Steve, and I know you feel the same way. It's like, what the heck? What are we doing? Why are we even talking? But it's always that one jury, member of the jury, if the audience is a jury, that we can change their mind, and they in turn can change, you know, the ripple effect. So this is why we still do what we're doing. And while I'm on this, I just want to say one thing that you said earlier. You know, there are people out there, and I see the comments, well, you know, you're nothing but a mouth behind a microphone. I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to look you right in the eye, and I want you to listen to me, and I want you to look me in the eye, you know, and you know who you are, you morons out there. Steve Quayle I'm going to tell you right now, has done a lot in terms of exfiltration. Again, I have to be very careful here, but I know what he's done in an attempt to get the Americans out, contrary to State Department desires. Okay, and you have to ask yourself, what the hell? State Department are saying no, and you've got private entities, again, like Steve Quayle, who's actually working 24/7 to assist in the exfiltration of Americans. You know what that, in case you're wondering, the State Department, that is an intelligence operation. This is not a military operation. So you're fighting the intelligence agencies. So I just want to say to those of you who think that, you know, that you want to bitch and moan, that all we do is bitch and moan. I'm going to tell you what, we've done more. He's done more in the last 72 hours than most of you have done in your entire friggin' lives. So there I have it. There, I'm done.
Here's the thing, Doug. And again, ladies and gentlemen, you cannot, I cannot, I will not compromise anyone or anything. It's just like some of the Arnold Henrys, and police know what that's a shortcut for, is that's a term. The Arnold Henrys out there, all they can do is collect extra rolls of toilet paper to basically illustrate the fact that they're royal rear ends. Okay, that's as delicate as I know how to be. But what's going on is a crisis moment for a nation that's falling apart, that's being destroyed from within and destroyed from without. We're watching the complete, and listen, Doug, I make no apologies. I remember when I said it, we're going to undergo a communist takeover and takedown. People said, oh, you're just a McCarthyite. Well, you dumb posteriors. No, it's happening. When you get heads of the Chinese military telling you how they're taking us down, when you get heads of the Chinese bioweapons development, when you get defectors from the bioweapons development labs, and everybody just listens to the political mouth, you know? And I would challenge you. I want everybody to say, to challenge those people. You hear all these people that are always knocking anybody who's doing something. But what do? They do nothing. And most, Doug, again, I just picked off an AI, critic on my email coming in real time. All of you people that say, oh, you guys deal too much with your enemies. Wait until they're at your front door. That's not a curse. That's a reality break. Wait until it's your neighborhood, not some neighborhood in Kabul, or it's not some neighborhood in Iraq or Iran. 130 nations are signing secret agreements against the United States to dump the U.S. dollar, to absolutely say we don't trust the United States anymore. Nobody trusts the United States anymore with the commandeer and thief who is running the show, and that's not even true. Who's pulling the strings behind Biden and Harris? Who do they want as president of the world? Oh, gee, who wanted to run for the UN Secretary General? Gee, the abomination of desolation. Ladies and gentlemen, we are undergoing a complete, and their word, transformation, and I'll throw in with that, transformation and takedown. When Barack Obama made the statement, America is no longer a Christian nation, that's probably the only time he ever told the truth, at least in my opinion. But it was an observation, Doug, less than 9%. And this, we're talking to Christians around the world, less than 9% of the people now have a biblical worldview.
Yes.
If they're below 35 years, I think, of age.
Astounding. Yes. And that's a very astounding number. All of this it connects, and people really, you know, your mind is you're like a beautiful mind. Okay. Was that a thing? Was that a movie?
I would call it that, but go ahead. You're very kind.
Well, okay. But you see things like, differently than most people see, but you see ahead. And here's the thing. Before the show, and I know we talked late last night, early this morning, and then before the show and such. Okay, so what you just said, you know, who's pulling the strings behind Biden? It would be Obama, but who's really, you know, where's the money coming from, or who's supporting that? Because you've got this vast complex. Well, you know what, folks, I'm going to throw a curveball here at you all. Okay, I'm going to throw a curveball at you. Read Empire Beneath the Ice. Okay, just trust me on this. The Nazi party, you know how Antifa, you know, anti-Nazi. Okay, the Nazis are involved in this, but it's a satanic globalist. Let me say it better. What we're witnessing here, communism is a mere stepping stone toward a satanic global takeover, and a component of that is the Nazi regime. We didn't lose, or we did not win World War II. We just moved some assets, Nazi assets around the world. And Steve writes about that in Empire Beneath the Ice. And even that was addressed in some measure within Extinction Protocols, if you kind of squint and kind of look beyond. So all of this connects. So Afghanistan, Obama's Arab Spring, not a spontaneous uprising. It was part of a larger power shift in the Middle East. Why? Because of the dollar, the economy. Why? Because of the Saudi petrodollar. Think back, 50 years to Nixon taking us off of the gold standard, August 15th, 1971. Okay, so the economic part of this, the Nazi part of this, the what's coming up next hour, the COVID stuff, the concentration, or the camps, I should say, the camps. Who do you think are going to be running the camps? What I heard in the last 48 hours, and I can't tell you where I heard this or how I heard this or what the conditions were. I heard somebody say, oh yeah, basically, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm a Nazi and I'm going to be running those camps, one of those camps. What camps? The camps that you, the unvaxxed, unwilling to be vaxxed, are going to be a resident of. And I don't know if there's just so much here, Steve. And I apologize if I went off on, you know, tangents.
Never have to apologize.
Man.
Here's the thing. How in 2 hours can you take 200 years of treason behind the scenes in every form of occult ritual, private group, skull and crossbones, higher level Masons, all of the satanic elite, all of the Luciferian elite, all of the globalists. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, you want to know who the God of the United Nations is, little G? I even hate to say that. It is the God, little G, Lucifer, who, by the way, Albert Pike, Morals and Dogma,
yep,
said we worship Lucifer. And it's interesting because Albert Pike's lifestyle you would believe he was like, good night. Nowadays, the satanic high priests talk about it. But even beyond that, Doug, it's the spiritual battle.
There it is.
It is. And here's the thing, and I hope to get to some scriptures, and I'll give them out to people. I have been astonished at people that are afraid to pray imprecatory prayer. There's a reason that the heart of David overcame Goliath. There's a reason why the surrender of Moses overcame the Pharaoh. There's a reason why Queen Esther's love for her people prevented them from all being annihilated. And the only king any of us can go before and is the most important is King Jesus. And Doug, we're hearing every day it's the Christians, it's the Christians. Yeah. And the religious right is the Taliban. Excuse me, you lying devils from hell. The Christians are the Taliban. Yeah, we're taking women out and raping them to death. We are not throwing gay people off of the roofs. We're not doing that stuff. We're not basically blowing people to smithereens or blowing ourselves up to basically say, oh, we want to appease the God we serve. The bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, if you are a Christian, you need to pray imprecatory prayer. You need to understand that wimpy wimps, and listen, there's nothing worse than a wimp. Maybe wussy wimpy wimps, okay, wussy wimpy wimps would be able to go into battle. We need the army of Gideon. We need the people to rise up, and only God can raise anybody up. I want to make this clear to everybody trying to say he's calling for this or that. No, I'm calling for the people of God to pray imprecatory prayer. I'm believing that God's word is true, and whatsoever things we ask the Father in Jesus' name, and wherever two or more are gathered, there he is in the midst. And I'm saying this, ladies and gentlemen.
We have authority. We have authority, and I didn't mean to take you off your stride here, but I gotta say this, what you said earlier, okay, the Department of Homeland Security, white Americans support the Taliban and are poised to carry out terror attacks at any moment. You talk about the framing of a false flag. There you go. Homeland Security had Alejandro Mayorkas together with his underling John Cohen, and the propagandists and the Anti-Defamation League went on CNN on Wednesday to drop a new blood libel smearing white Americans as domestic violent extremists in line with the Taliban, who are poised to start committing terrorist acts at any moment. Can you feel it, brothers? Oh, amen. Can you feel it? Sorry. There it is. We're getting set up, brother.
Yeah, we are getting set up, and I'm going to share right now. I'm texting Doug right now. Laura, she said, I will make this happen. How long do they need? I said, sign on Vimeo now.
No, so, not Vimeo, whatever the other one is. Zoom.
Zoom. I'm sorry. I stand corrected.
Sign corrected.
Now. Okay. So Eric Spector, and I expect calling in, and again, we'll give her the show because Doug, here is the thing that everyone needs to understand, that the devil is absolutely thrilled with the passivity, apathy, and indifference of Christianity. We in our Glyph project, and I want people to understand this. I've got to get it up so people can see it. Between two of the most famous fallen angels in the Book of Enoch and Lucifer himself, and they're identified by their symbols and imagery, they basically said, Lucifer, did you ever believe it would be this easy to destroy the Christians? Now somebody says, I don't believe it. Of course, you don't believe anything. And if you don't believe anything, why don't you just turn us off? Because you're at the wrong place at the wrong point in history. But so what is happening now is because of the apathy, indifference, cowardice, and I will also put in another word. The idea that you turn the cheek is in a personal insult, but there needs to be warriors. And even Paul had a sword. He had to fight with robbers. He didn't go, my good man, I'm the Apostle Paul, and could you just lay down your desire to kill me? No. Peter had a sword in the Garden of Eden. And when it says, and I have to correct somebody, I want to correct every Christian right now. They who live by the sword, die by the sword was an idiom of the day concerning Roman mercenaries. When they asked what that guy's job was, pointing to the guy that they probably could have figured it out, he lived by the sword. That means he was a mercenary. We have mercenaries nowadays. But the point is that when it comes to defending your faith, oh, Lord, you answered that one. Will you find faith in your, when it comes to defending your family, when it comes to defending your God, when it comes to defending your children, when it comes to defending the people that are over there and our brethren, I'll get corrected by Fred. If you had an S, that sends a guy into orbit. But the bottom line is our brethren are in a intractable position. And that's why it called for people to have prayer and fasting on their behalf, to believe God in imprecatory prayer. And that's, ladies and gentlemen, what we're going to absolutely have to do. And if you go on the internet, you'll find out, oh, it's wrong to curse people. It's not wrong to hate evil. And to hate evil is a fear of the Lord. And oh, by the way, Doug, there's no fear of God in this land. 9% of people have worldview if they're under 30. But God's irrelevant to this generation. I'm not saying He is as God. I am saying in their eyes. And there is a generation that groweth up that knoweth not God. You know, just like a Pharaoh that arose that didn't know who Joseph was. So the long-term memory of the United States of America has been revisioned and rewritten. So that's why they're tearing down statues. The statue stands for someone or it stands for an event. We've watched our borders, language, culture, as Michael Savage stated. We've watched our heritage. We've watched our faith. And America took its knees before BLM and Antifa, but would not take its knees in thanksgiving or in prayer or in humility and in repentance before the living God. America was brought to its knees, but America should have gone to its knees and called on the only one who can deliver us. And someone says, you're a fatalist. No, I'm a realist. I know how it plays out. And I know what happens to the people that live in denial. I know what happens to the cowards. I know what happens to the fearful. I know what happens to the unbelieving. You all go into the lake of fire. And again, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know we're not talking to our supporters. We are talking to the people that are assigned to monitor Doug's program and to absolutely kick in AI programs in every way, shape, and form. And believe it or not, somebody once said, Steve, you know what you've got going for you? He said, the living God. They said, no, you're too random. And the random, you give their AI programs a heart attack or a heartburn or something. I said, I do? Well, that's a good thing, Doug. Maybe randomness is better than predictability.
I love it. Yeah.
Is Laura on with us yet?
Not yet. Eric's monitoring for that connection to be made. And folks, you know, again, a lot of moving parts. Please bear with us. But no, not yet.
Well, let's just, again, take into effect, if we could, the vilification. We just gave $90 billion plus dollars worth of most sophisticated equipment to the Taliban. But what they're not telling you is they also, the Taliban also got access to the entire military records and all their DNA and genetics and stuff, because it's all in there. That means that every military member, his home, his family, all that information's there. And by the way, and this is something interesting too, the deal's going on in the background. The Americans were betrayed. And Doug, here's the thing. They were betrayed by their cell phones, their hell phones, okay? Ladies and gentlemen, when you know what's going down, ditch this thing faster than you ditch, you brush a tick off, or, you know, you blow a rattlesnake off or cottonmouth off. Ditch the phones. If you don't ditch the phones will cause you to end up in a ditch.
Satellite phone store. Go there.
Yep, satellite phone store, because again, these can't be tracked. And people keep asking me about Galileo.
Yes.
Galileo is in their final stages, and I personally have been really upset. I want everybody to know this, because I don't understand computer programming, but now it's supposedly getting fixed. There are 15 of us that are going to be sending out, if you will, the alerts. And I'll just make it real simple. Certain events happened that those people that had been placed on hold were put aside because of all the technical issues. I said, listen, I had this idea. And by the way, Satellite Phone Store and the people that are the owners of Galileo, they're frustrated too, because what's happening is the fact that and Doug, you and I were inputting the tests and stuff.
Yep.
And I said, look, we've got to handle 4,000 people signing up at once. Yeah, I'm not a hardware guy, Eric, no, but the bottom line is it's not rocket science. But what is rocket science is getting the data. And I hope people understand this, Doug. Maybe you can say it better than I do. The data inputters who are up 24/7 sending the text alert so people can have access in real time. And I will have an answer by no later than Friday. I said that before, but I will have one. I was guaranteed I'll have an answer. That simply means when people can sign up on Galileo, their numbers are put into the system, the satellite system. So when I say, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, here's a good example. Those of you going into New Orleans, be aware there are vaccine choke points, which literally happened. And Doug, I know, I think I sent you that story, but people were literally being turned away from going home after they left. Evacuate. They weren't allowed back into New Orleans unless they were vaccinated. And there's stories on the internet. You can see that. And that's a true, and imagine that on a state level, and some states won't put up with it. But imagine that, ladies and gentlemen, and then even take it to the next degree. We're facing food. We're facing food shortages. Let me just go the next step. Food shortages equals starvation. Food shortages equals starvation. If you have a limited amount of food because you engineered all these events, then if you get rid of 250 million Americans, well, you only need about 25% as much food, don't you? And ladies and gentlemen, remember this. The camps will open. They'll have glowing pictures on TV of families sitting around eating a nice dinner, probably, you know, and it'll all be a scam and a sham to get you into the FEMA camps. Doug, people used to lie. They used to say we were fearmongers. We were this, that, and the other thing. I would just say this. Every conspiracy theory related to this time has been proven to be true. Proven to be true. And, oh, the secret police, which, by the way, Marcus Wolf, the head of East German Stasi, Yevgeny Primakov, head of Russian intelligence, I think, for Eastern Europe, they were hired by the United States to set up self-erecting intelligence dossiers. Voila! Welcome to Faces of Death book. Voila! Welcome to Instagram. Welcome to this. I'm not saying those places knowingly signed on. Faces of Death book, that's a whole different story. A Twitter? Look at the control of the media. Look at the control of the free flow of information. look at now, if you put up any scientific studies on the vaccination of the global population, you're considered a terrorist. You're considered a anti-vax terrorist. Meanwhile, you can go on YouTube and see Indians, 39 Indian soldiers, get the jab and they drop dead on the spot. Of course, because of their diet and everything. But how many women do we have to see dying on YouTube? How many people do we have to see dying on YouTube? And remember this, ladies and gentlemen, we're at war. The devil is the author of lies. He's the kingdom of lies. Jesus said the whole world lies in evil one. And so if you tell the truth, guess what? You're at war with the devil himself. But Jesus said he's given us to, if we'll believe in the Lord and we'll repent and humble ourselves first and foremost, but he's given us power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And I'm saying, God, where is that power? Where is that power? And the scripture in James says, submit yourself to God and resist the devil. Where are the people submitting themselves to God? They're far and few between. So pray. And I got to tell you something. If the prophets say, oh, a great revival is coming, without repentance, it's a lie. Reject it. Because those are the same people saying, you know, we're late. We're late for a very important date. And the bottom line is they think an earthly solution will protect them from the most heinous, wicked evil in the universe. And it ain't going to happen.
You know, if it's to be, it's up to me. If it's to be, it's up to us. And, you know, you bring up some really great points. Where are the Christians? You know, I do now understand how Germany 1933, you know, in the 30s and beyond happened. I get that. I fully understand how that happened. But you mentioned something very interesting, and I spoke about this week a couple of times. And you talked about Twitter, Facebook, the social media platforms. And the question arises, who controls the information? Whether it is about Afghanistan, and this is why Laura Logan is so important to this discussion, because she is the real deal in terms of providing the real information that you're not going to get elsewhere. You know, along with us, I'd like to put ourselves in that camp as well. But, you know, we boast that, let me back up here for just one second here. Joseph Goebbels, a master of media and information manipulation, he said this: it is the absolute right of the state to supervise the formation of public opinion. Think of the press as a great keyboard on which the government can play. Now, I paraphrase that. But think back then, typewriter, you know, keyboard, that kind of thing. So, again, it's the absolute right of the state to supervise the formation of public opinion. This is Joseph Goebbels, whatever. So here's what's happening with respect to Afghanistan, with respect to the clot shot, with respect to SARS-CoV-2, with respect to Fauci, with respect to Biden, his mental and cognitive disabilities, and Heels Up Harris taking care of the southern border, and everything that we're hearing. False experts are used. There was a book written in 1988 by Edward Herman, who said the book's title was Manufacturing Consent, and subtitled The Political Economy of the Mass Media. And here's just an excerpt from that. The propaganda model also incorporates, and I'm taking pieces from this, experts to confirm the official slant on the news, taken for granted by media personnel and the elite, but are often resisted by the general population. So what this book said back, 40 years, I don't know, however many years ago, not 40, but 30 some years ago, said that, look, we're going to throw in fake experts into the news, or that's what they're doing, and the majority of people are going to believe it, but there's going to be a morsel of resistance within the general population. All right. So, you know, ignorance lends itself to manipulation by the forces that mold public opinion. And that's what we're seeing right now with a large percentage of the population, be it Afghanistan, be it the water shortages, mega drought, by the way, be it the clot shot or so-called vaccination or whatever the topic might be. This is exactly what you're seeing. This is structured after the Nazification of the media, Goebbels style. And we're seeing that now. And isn't it kind of ironic that you have anti-fascists who are driving the public opinion or who are driving the media to form a false narrative and mold public opinion against the conservative Christians, as you spoke about just now? There it
is. Well, Doc, here's a film director, I think, a guy named, I want to give him credit, Werner Herzog, who said this. Dear America, you are waking up, as Germany once did, we're talking about Nazis, to the awareness that one-third of your people would kill another third of your people while a third watched. Isn't that profound?
Sure.
I'm going to say that one more time. You are Americans. You're waking up, as Germany once did. And remember what happened when Germany awakened. It was too late. You're waking up, as Germany once did, to the awareness that one-third of your people would kill another third while a third watched. Doug, that pretty much says it. And here's the deal. Remember this, everybody else's death is a spectator sport. When it comes to you, it's a matter of life and death. That's a really powerful statement.
Good point. Exactly. A very powerful statement. So we are being victimized by a, well, I'll just say this. America right now, as it stands right now, the entirety of America, and in fact, most of the West, we're a captured operation. We're captured. We don't have to worry necessarily about enemies from without, although that is a concern. But the enemies within have taken us down to our knees, at least many people, while, you know, misrepresenting the information through fake experts and other deceitful means. And you know what? It's kind of funny because we see what like the Weather Channel. That's a perfect example, Steve, about, you know, you see that, I can't remember that guy's name, John Corduroy or something, whatever, standing there looking like he's going to about ready to get pushed over by the wind. And then you see somebody walking behind him or see a family walking behind him, you know, eating an ice cream cone. Okay. It's all fake. And if the sooner people realize this, the better off they're going to be. Turn off your flipping TV sets. The mainstream media, shut that off and start reading and start paying attention to what Steve Quayle says, Dave Hodges says, and others like them. Go ahead.
Well, Doug, we're also seeing economic warfare. When it came out that General Flynn's credit card was cut off by Chase Bank, one of the big five, and I'm going to tell everybody this. Everyone who's listening to this podcast, get out of the big five banks. You have no idea what's coming. Find a strong regional bank. You can go on the internet and find strong financial banks. You can find banks with huge amounts of capital, very small amounts of debt. You want to get out of the big banks. But ladies and gentlemen, it's already, I was told after this, Doug, and I got to communicate. And he says, Steve, it's just not that bank. It's all of the credit card companies are already setting up AI scanning programs, or I think, you know, call them robots or crawlers or something. And if you are politically incorrect, you're going to be denied credit. And we're all being told that you can't go to supermarket. Oh, this is Australia. What happens to down under comes up under our noses. And ladies and gentlemen, there's no clearer window into the future than what's happening right now in Australia. And remember this, they couldn't have done it if they hadn't taken away the guns first. Doug, the UN Small Arms, what is it, Weapons Convention Treaty, I may have one of those words back because I'm going or jumping around so fast. The United Nations is going to disarm us with foreign military sources. That's why our military was placed all over the world, so there's nobody to defend you. And by the way, the ones that don't die right off of the vaccine, you know, again, we need to pray for those people, our brothers and sisters in the military, that God literally leads them away from the slaughter areas, okay? And Doug, we're watching this, and forgive me, maybe you see more than I do. And I mean, I see a lot of stuff, but sometimes I don't do, you know, I just don't have all the assets that you need. But the point being is, got enough to see the big picture, and we're going to see the attempt to disarm the American people. Let's talk about 9/11.
Before you go there, I just want to mention, because you said this is going to affect all banks and Chase Bank. Our good friend, my good friend, Tracy Beans, is one of many, cited as a reputational risk. Think about this now. Revolver.news has the story up. Chase Bank unveils new reputation risk campaign targeting loyal customers for their political beliefs. Okay. And now this is Chase Bank, right? And of course, Lieutenant General Mike Flynn, big deal behind that. But there is a list of people, including but not limited to Owen Schroyer, Alex Jones, Tracy Beans, and others. Wink, wink. Okay. Nod, nod. You know, jab, jab. Guess who else? But see, and as you said, it's not going to be, nor is it limited to Chase Bank. Folks, listen to me. You post on Facebook, you post on Twitter, you make your opinions known, you show up at the school board. You're going to be flagged for your political opinions. It's happening today, and there goes your commercial account. So you better make provisions for that. And I want to say one last thing. That doesn't mean I'm going to shut up. That doesn't mean Steve or Tracy or anyone else is going to shut up. No, we are doubling down. Why? Because we know the authority that's in us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what Steve said earlier. And you know, I apologize for not really saying that as much as I should. We must act in the authority granted to us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I make no apologies. I am not ashamed to say that. He is my Lord and Savior, and I'll tell you what, I told Russ the other day, you know what, if it was a choice between a 50 caliber or Russ's authority in prayer, you know, against a demonic force, I'm going with Russ. I'll drop the 50 cal. I'll go with Russ because I've seen it happen. So we must, in my view, and you said this, we must invoke our authority in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And all you Christians out there listening to this, please do that. Please make sure you understand this is a spiritual battle. Again, I didn't mean to take you off point, but I thought it was important to say that.
That's not off point. And again, ladies and gentlemen, I will just say this, that, and I think I have access to be able to say this, Doug, if I'm not stopping instantly, but what Doug and Russ and their team are dealing with in multiples, in demon-infested people and literal entities, is a constant referral, excuse me, to the Nazis, their emblems, and again, the skulls of death. And ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing more occult than the Third Reich. Heinrich Himmler's library alone was in the tens of thousands of volumes. Sometime I should get Russ on to talk about that. But again, Doug, is that an accurate statement that the signature of the multiples and some even assassins, I'll just leave it there, are absolutely, how should I say this, under a spell, or at least they identify and they basically pronounce that they are in control of the world.
Yes, and it all goes back, and it's very interesting because once this comes out publicly, and it will come out publicly, and this is why, I just want to mention this too, this is why we had to take a certain individual to court to win a judgment, okay, because everyone was a satanic pedophile and you know, just a bunch of crap, okay, being spewed by this moron, in my view. Okay, in my opinion. However, the fact is, okay, Russ, accusing Russ of being a satanic pedophile, accusing me, Steve Quayle, Craig Sawyer, and this is why the detractors we address them sometimes, because it hurts the legitimate fight against what you just said. Now, very quickly, I've got in my office, well, it won't be in my office after the show, a box, okay, of evidence. That's going to be, in fact, Eric, why don't you have, go ahead and have him take that box to the, it's going right now, of Nazi, evidence of Nazis. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Right. And that goes directly to your, I'm telling you, it goes directly to your book, Empire Beneath the Ice. And if I just couldn't believe the connections. So, I just had to say that. Thank you, by the way. Save my butt again. So anyway. Yeah, brother. Yes. And yes, you're absolutely correct in what you said. And you know, this is a granular level fight that Russ and his team and again, honor to be a part. I'm fighting, with respect to child trafficking. We're talking about the southern border. We're talking about the northern border. We're talking about satanic ritual, Project Monarch, MK Ultra stuff that just, you think, you know what? When this comes out, and we're talking Epstein level stuff, when this comes out, and it all relates to, again, a COVID camp. How does that relate? Well, who do you think is going to staff them? The people that have been trained that Steve talks about and has written about, those people by our own government who don't give a rat's behind about your welfare or mine. Just saying. It's all going to come out.
Yeah. And one of the things too, Doug, is, you know, I gave it to you. I gave it to others. People have it beyond me, but I was given literally the location of every guillotine and every crematorium oven and all the different camps and all the different military bases, it used to be 256,000. And then, there was another 20,000. I guess, you know, what is it? They're going to kill 276 million people. They got 276,000, guillotines. They plan on killing a lot of people. And ladies and gentlemen, that goes to the book of Revelation that talks about specifically those who are beheaded under the altar crying out to God, how long, Lord, before you avenge our death? And God says, be patient until your brethren like you have basically come to heaven like you. I'm trying to paraphrase it in a nicer way. But again, ladies and gentlemen, when I have a personal friend who I know, and with his majestic clearance, and if you tell me no such thing exists, you're listening to the wrong program. When he went into one of the places in the Midwest, and this is on my website, you can find it. Just go look up guillotines, G-U-I-L-L-O-T-I-N-E-S. And when he went in there with these complete access to any base, any place in the world, and he said, show me what's going on here. And they showed him all the guillotines, and he asked them, he said, Colonel, who are these guillotines for? And here's the answer he got. I think it was a colonel. I could be wrong on the rank, but he said, these are for those who don't recant their faith. Ding, ding, ding. Doug, over the years, and for the record, I've been on talk radio a quarter of a century, and all of this stuff, there are people that would take information like the guillotines that broke open on the docks in Long Beach Harbor. It just so happened my friend was a test pilot for a very famous aerospace, and I'll just name that, you know, and his brother was the longshoreman, whatever they call the head guy there, and that's a true story about a crate of them breaking open. I've had four-star generals, G-E-N-E-R-A-L-S, tell me of what's at certain military bases. Ladies and gentlemen, I've had spies, S-P-I-E-S, that wanted to clear their conscience with God, telling me the reason why the devil prefers beheading is because of the bruising he took under the heel of Genesis 3:15. Ladies and gentlemen, every time Satan cuts somebody's heads off, he believes he's beheading God himself, and he obviously can't get to God. So he takes the image and likeness, and he cuts it off. And ladies and gentlemen, again, as somebody who's, involved in the Aztec, Inca, Maya world of absolute human sacrifice. Oh, by the way, it was the aliens that taught the Aztecs all they knew about cutting people's hearts out. We have not only the panels that tell the whole story, we've got the angel glyphs that tell the whole story. Some of you that supported Doug Hagman, we're going to have another one of those fundraisers. The next round is going to be mind-blowing. And all of this, and then below that level, that's at the 4 to 5 foot level, you know, underneath the artifacts, there's the Egyptians. And wow, the pyramids are appearing in Mesoamerica in the Egyptians. Go look up the history of Egypt. We're talking thousands of years ago, before the Mayans, before the Aztecs, before the Incas. They all came into that. They didn't build it themselves. So, Doug, here we have, we're right back to where we were before. We're right there in ancient history. And, you know, people, we have to go back to the future. You know, great title for the movie series. But the bottom line is, and it's telling us what's coming.
You know, you mentioned Genesis 3:15, and you mentioned Back to the Future. There it is. So, isn't it one of the things too? Isn't it ironic, Steve? Sadly, ironic that people don't see the fact that American military, the American military is exfiltrating or transporting hundreds of, well over 100,000 unvetted Muslims of fighting age into the United States. Yeah, they're dropping them. I get the fact they're dropping them in states, you know, voting states. What do they call those states? Whatever. But you get the idea. But the fact is, the bigger picture here, that's the political side of things. The bigger picture here, what do you think they're going to be here for? Do you think they're going to be here just for the votes? No. Just as voters? No. They're here because of their cultural and religious beliefs, antithetical to Christians, antagonistic to Christians. It goes back to Genesis 13, as you stated. It goes back to the guillotines. It goes back to the camps. And it goes back to our demise as Christians and as a Christian nation.
Well, it does. And again, Doug, while you were speaking, I was just looking for one of the artifacts I'm going to send Eric. But here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. If people don't learn from the past, obviously they can be taken over in the present. That's something that should be obvious, but evidently it isn't. I want to ask everybody, are you better off since 9/11? And did you notice how under Obama, it wasn't the Middle East terrorists anymore. It was the white Christians, white Christians, white Christians. And why is it always the white bald guys, whether it's Schwab or that guy you just put his picture up on the head of DHS or whatever, that always are making white people the enemy? And the thing is, and I tell blacks this too, black and white, no matter what your skin is, they are trying to divide, and Obama was the ultimate divider between races. They're trying to destroy what was happening. America was coming together. People were putting aside that racism, real racism, was going away. Now there's a new racism. And you've got to ask yourself the question, why is it always white people that are the villains for everything? And Doug, I got to come to the conclusion of this, is because historically, the contributions of, quote, just take the Renaissance, take the scientific achievements of Newtonian physics, take all of the stuff that's gone on. Look, right, whether people like it or not, the contributions to society were magnificent. I'm not saying there's no black contributions to society. I'm not saying there's no, but I'm telling you one thing, you can look at outside of names of the heavens, it's the amazing amount of scientific discovery happened when the world acknowledged the living God, when the world acknowledged, especially the Renaissance. I have a fascination for Renaissance art. I love that stuff. But the bottom line is, I had to go and understand cave paintings in Altamira, Spain, or Lascaux, France, and understand, hey, those aren't just cave paintings, those are constellations. How could they know that stuff? And take it all the way into the Renaissance. And here is the thing, and this is critical for people to understand. yes, ancient history does affect present reality, because from the very beginning of time, the satanic priesthood, the Luciferian light bearers have waited for this moment. And you can call it, as Russ did in his book, The Black Awakening, but you can also call it the Great Alliance. When all the powers that are evil in heaven and all their earthly minions converge to make war against God and his redeemed. And that's where we're coming. You know, forget harmonic convergence. When that term came out, I said, yeah, it's more like moronic convergence, because people can't see the entire big picture. And when you give them the big picture, you know what they say? Oh, that just hurts my head. I don't want to deal with it. What does it do to have to do with my mortgage? I said, not much. You just got to know somebody who's foreign is going to live in your house. Well, and they're already talking about displacing Americans. And this was one of the things that the American Revolution was based on, billeting British troops in the colonialist homes, you know, with no permission. So
that's right.
We're just, oh, good night. It is so explosively, how should I say this, and historically unprecedented in the outcome that is going to take place. There is no way for me, and I don't believe, Doug, honestly, I've written enough books and spoken enough times, and I know really dire stuff, but I'm just scratching the surface.
Oh, yeah. And
the direness should be the motivation for all of us. I don't want to be taken to a FEMA camp, or especially during a Sunday church service, which, by the way, I don't attend, and see my wife go forever as they put her on a bus. See my children screaming, taken away from me. Oh, that's the clergy response team. How absolutely damning of them to realize we don't care. We the Christians, we the people, I don't want to go to a MAGA rally, you know? I don't do them. I'm not looking for the second coming of Donald Trump. I'm looking for the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I know what has to take place before the second coming of Jesus Christ will be seen on earth. And it's also called the Battle of Armageddon. And ladies and gentlemen, that's at least, in my opinion, 42 months away.
At least, Everybody.
And then we're going to have a World War III, and it'll be fake, but it'll be fast, and it'll be furious.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, to what you said earlier, I'm always like a couple of steps behind you, Steve, so my apologies. But to what you said earlier about, about the minority, the white Christian or the Christians, I'll just go with Christians being a minority in the United States, whether it's, you know, the under 35, 9% you mentioned, or whether it's that foreign occupying your home, speaking to the Great Reset, that's, wet dream of Klaus Schwab and the globalists. Speaking to that, think about the fact that Asian and Middle Eastern Asian and Middle Eastern countries have always had this honor-shame culture, where Western culture, Western Christian civilization, historically has an absolute right versus wrong, you know, right, morally right, following the Ten Commandments, following the Christian Bible, whereas the Middle Eastern countries, and again, Afghanistan is a perfect example. They follow the honor shame culture. In some Sharia Islamic communities, we see it here in the United States, parents will kill their daughters for shaming them or embarrassing them, for example. There was a professor who wrote, and this is back in March of 2017, professor from Indiana University, Dr. Muhammad Khalifa. He published this equity document, again, March 27th, 2017, shaming those who disagreed with him, demanding schools stop teaching Western civilization's concepts of the individual. And he labeled white privilege and Christian privilege as problematic in America. Where do you think that was in 2017? White privilege, Christian privilege. And so, in that place, Khalifa and others who support him, think of the squad now, want schools to promote the group concept of Ummah,
which is the Muslim community, that whole concept I'm not going to get into. But what goes even further, this would explain, number one, the Chinese social credit score and acceptance, you know, the shame versus honor. And also the left, their preoccupation with being these cultural trendsetters and academic authorities. Again, going back to the fake news experts we see on TV. So all of that combined, you know, again, I'm a couple of steps behind you in this conversation, but I wanted to just to kind of punch that in there. So, you know, people have this understanding of how this all connects, you know, people coming over into the U.S. So.
Well, and again, we're being displaced. And one of the problems is, ladies and gentlemen, God lays it out in Deuteronomy 28, and strangers from within will possess you. In other words, strangers from without will possess you from within. They will be brought up very high. You will be brought down very low. And displacement, also you can use the word replacement. The white birth ratio compared, and I pay attention to what a lot of the Middle East mindset has, just like you do, Doug. One of the most provocative and actually true statements that I think it was an imam, and I forget which one, said this: you Americans can't even reproduce any longer. They said, our women's wombs will be the ultimate weapon against the West. Carry that through to displacement or replacement. Anybody with a historically accurate perspective of U.S. history pretty much is dying off. I mean, you know, tell me which university that were set up as Christian university. Oh, by the way, what was it? Harvard just hired an atheist chaplain. That's kind of like saying, you know, a vampire who's sworn off blood for just water. Sooner or later, the appetite comes back. But all of the Ivy League schools, and by the way, I called them, there was a time when they may have been Ivy League, but now they're poison Ivy League. And the thing is that every single foundation of our great nation, and for those who claim, you know, not America, I love it more than you do because I'm doing everything I can. And I'm probably failing, but at least I'm making the effort. I'm helping people that got to get here, got to get there. And ladies and gentlemen, It's got to dawn on all of us. If we don't start taking back the narrative, you're watching the United States be terminated by Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. It's the 13th point. And Doug, maybe if Eric could put that up, that's how they destroyed the president. That's how they're destroying the nation. It's the 13th rule for radicals, Saul Alinsky. Oh, who, by the way, pledged the book to Lucifer. The ultimate revolutionary in the universe. I don't know if it's that exact word, but he does pledge the book to Lucifer. So if, you know, if you could put that up, the 13th rule.
Yeah, we're working on that as we speak.
I think it's important because if Christians have surrendered the narrative that there is no God, that Lucifer is coming, more people are now openly confessing they're following, including some of the biggest stars in Hollywood. That doesn't surprise me, but they're stating Lucifer's coming. Lucifer's our God, you know? And they mock Jesus, even some of them that used to, you know, it's Satan's cool. Jesus is a loser because they claim that they can't see what he did on the cross. Well, guess what? You're going to find that isn't true. Yep. Okay, thank you, Eric. God bless you, brother. I mean that.
He's good, isn't he?
Yep, yeah, and I wish I had an Eric.
That's why he gets paid the big buck. I'm kidding, of course, but no, he's God, really good.
Read 13 and chime in.
Pick the target, freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it. Cut the support network and isolate the target from sympathy. Am I getting that right? It's a little bit far away. All right. Go after people and not institutions. People hurt faster than institutions. Thank you very much, Eric. It's not, I just got new glasses, but it's just a mile away in my studio here.
That's exactly what they've done to the history of the United States.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what they did to, obviously, General Flynn. That's what they did, obviously, to Donald Trump. Did you ever notice, ladies and gentlemen, that it was like the presidency under Trump never got a breather? It's because of that 13th rule. That would make a great name for a book. I'm done writing them. Maybe you should write them. The bottom line is the 13th rule. So, again, polarized. The nation's polarized. And still, now watch the polarization on the entire narrative. Do you know why Twitter twatter, your brains will splatter? Do you know why Faces of Death book? Do you know why everything is cutting off all true scientific discourse? Is because they have an agenda. They are attacking the truth. They're isolating the truth. They don't want the truth. They hate the truth. Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life.
Yep.
And I got to tell you this. How do I say this? And it's not because there's no swear words involved, but how real does it have to get before people can see that Australia, what's going on there, the mandatory vaccine of children? We're already watching, ladies and gentlemen, the entire decimation, or at least 70%, however, whatever percent of the population is allowing children to be vaccinated, you're seeing the death of the white American or black American, you're seeing the death of America. We can't reproduce ourselves. Ah, but they have a plan. Displacement. Bring everybody in. Just have them basically, you know, make babies. And the issue is that they, what are those things? Not things, but they call them anchor children. Yeah, the anchor children are anchors tied to our necks as we die. And I guess that's the thing that just is so astonishing to me.
We do have Laura Logan on. Laura Logan is one of the bravest, one of the most, in my view, one of the most intelligent journalists out there. She is. She was a correspondent for CBS News from, what, 02 to 18, and then she joined the Sinclair Broadcast Group. And in January of 2020, she joined Fox Nation, which is a subscription streaming service run by Fox News. And she was really, she's been really at the cutting edge of all of the reports or reporting. There we go. Hi.
Hi, you can hear me.
We can. God bless you. Thank you. Steve, I'm going to kick it over to you and back out of here so there's no crosstalk.
Well, Laura, thank you for coming on. And obviously no one knows more about Afghanistan. We're giving you all the time. So just share your heart. There's no interruptions of what's going on. But you've been embedded with the Afghanis. You have people there that have unfortunately died. I want you to just give people the bottom line. And thank you for coming on with us.
Well, thank you both for having me. So what I think that people really don't understand about what's happening in Afghanistan is that there's two really serious things. And one is that if you look at what Al-Qaeda and the Taliban are doing, they just had a big parade. They're parading their suicide bombers and everything else. And you can, this visual should tell you what the United States is creating. We are creating a terrorist super state. The world's leading superpower is groveling in the dirt at the feet of these terrorists, the same terrorists who were responsible for 9/11. And somehow we just think like we're skipping over the, you know, the almost 3,000 people who were murdered, all the soldiers killed since, all the soldiers have been wounded. And suddenly now, the Taliban and Al-Qaeda and Haqqani and all of these people are our friends. And people will say, wait a minute, that's not the Taliban. Well, the deputy commander of the Taliban is the leader of the Afghan Al-Qaeda, the Haqqani network, that has been a designated foreign terrorist organization since 2012. That's the United States government's designation, right? That's not my designation. And, you know, if you talk to anybody in that region, you know, there's a lot of cross-pollination. They marry into each other's families. But most importantly, they all fly and follow the ideology of Al-Qaeda. And what people don't realize is being created, we, the United States, is about to recognize some of the holiest ground in the caliphate that Osama bin Laden planned all those years ago, right? The Emirates, the Islamic Emirate of the Taliban, is the caliphate. And this is not the only one that they have been working on. They were establishing an Islamic caliphate in Libya, also called an emirate, and also in Syria and in Yemen and so on. And in fact, if you go back into the writings of Al-Qaeda, and especially the leader of Al-Qaeda in Libya, you know, back in 2016, he's writing to the other jihadists saying, you know, we have an unprecedented level of support from the Obama administration. We need to make a deal here at the negotiating table and get the Islamic caliphate, get the Islamic emirate established, because I'm not sure that any future U.S. government on either side in America in this election is going to be as supportive of the emirate as these people are. Well, those very same people, right, Jake Sullivan and Susan Rice, those kind of people, they're back in power. And look what they're doing now. They're recognizing another Islamic emirate or caliphate where Al-Qaeda is heavily involved. Some of the most senior leaders in Al-Qaeda who have been in Pakistan for all these years have come back to Afghanistan now. Some of them never left. Many of their followers, like Siraj Haqqani. And, you know, it is illegal for the United States under U.S. law to negotiate with and support terrorists. And yet that's exactly what they're doing right in front of our eyes, with no regard for Congress, no regard for the law, no regard for anyone, no regard for the millions of Americans on both sides of the aisle, Democrat and Republican, who are not okay with being defined by betrayal and the blood of innocent people. The Afghans who died, you know, around 100 were killed. We don't even know how many people have died since and what injuries people suffered in that bomb that was, that also killed the U.S. Marines. You know, I mean, we are acting as if it's perfectly normal and reasonable to discuss what the Taliban's policy would be on the First Amendment and whether all these fledgling, you know, radio, whether all these media organizations and journalists operating in Afghanistan today with the freedom that they've had for the last 20 years, what their future will be like under the Taliban. Are you serious? Like, what happened? Steve, you know me, right? Because I'm not very diplomatic. So I feel like somebody just sucked out our collective brain, chewed it up, and then vomited it on the floor. Because that's how ridiculous it is to even have this conversation. You know, what is it based on? Well, let me see. Take a look at the newsreader that's got two armed Taliban gunmen behind him. You know, that picture really says it all. The door-to-door executions don't do it for you? Or is it maybe, I don't know, the fact that women have been banned from public life again, that there's no entertainment and music and singing? You know, they suck all the joy out of living, these people. And not only that, this is the part that is really quite something. It is the U.S. that we don't know what we've promised these people. There are secret amendments to this deal that U.S. presidential envoy Zalman Khalilzad agreed to. We don't know what the head of the CIA told Mullah Baradar from the Taliban when he met with him, you know, not so long in Kabul. We don't know what assurances and guarantees were given. But you know what we do know? We do see the U.S. moving towards recognizing this as a legitimate government, while at the very same moment, America's allies for the last few decades are in the Panjshir Valley fighting the Taliban with the weapons that we supplied. So now these people are being, I mean, these are Afghan special operations soldiers and others who were trained by the United States, trained by us, who were equipped by us, who were fighting side by side with us. Now they're fighting us because we are now on the side of the Taliban. And they're at risk. And they're at risk of being overrun and outgunned and, you know, and everything else. And they now have been completely betrayed and abandoned. Whereas the Taliban is fighting. On the one side, they have the U.S., their strongest ally, and who's pressuring through every means it can, is pressuring every neighboring country not to assist the resistance, not to assist the acting Afghan president, Amrullah Saleh, or Ahmed Massoud, the son of Ahmed Shah Massoud, who's leading the resistance. They're pressuring these countries not to assist any of them. They're pressuring them not to take Afghan refugees. The Taliban has locked down Afghanistan. And then they stand up at the podium and they lie and they lie and they lie, to the point where it's almost like, what was that film, The Truman Show, you know, where you're living in this little world and don't let reality intrude. Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story. You know, I posted a video of the recent fighting on Twitter, which came from the ground, from eyewitnesses who actually captured it in battle, and it was vetted by U.S. sources. It went through intelligence channels in the U.S. It was backed up by Al-Qaeda and the Taliban's own networks and reports. It had the foreign fighters that they posted going into this battle, glowing about it, their threats to murder all these people fighting and to enslave their women. And I got flagged by Twitter for, what did they say? This post, you know, maybe out of context, it's lacking context. Because I pointed out that the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, who, by the way, more than anybody knows that the Afghan forces don't lack the will to fight. And I'm not talking about the regular army, which definitely had its issues. I'm talking about the thousands of Afghan commandos and special operations forces and specialized task forces that were created by the United States, who know America's TTPs, their tactics, their techniques and procedures, who know how we think on the battlefield, who know how we operate. We were there so long that we didn't just train these units. We trained trainers, and then we trained their trainers to be trainers. So we created a capability in Afghanistan that is now in the hands of the Taliban. It's not just the weapons. It's not just the intelligence systems. You know, it's not just the biometrics and how we do that. That is now in the hands of the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, the Chinese, the Russians, the Pakistanis, the Iranians. It's not just all of that. It's that we are betraying these people in a way that will create hatred that will never, ever, ever be erased. Afghans remember everything. It is one of the things that you learn to really love about them, because they will be there for you through thick and thin. The very same Afghans who I hired, or who I worked with, or who I lived with, the Afghan commanders and soldiers I lived with on the battlefield 20 years ago, they're still the people I'm trying to save today. They have never walked away from me, and I will never walk away from them. And I was there when we went into village after village after village, saying to the Afghans, sorry we abandoned you after, you know, the defeat of the Soviets and the Soviet withdrawal. We'll never do it again. Trust us. Believe in us. We are your brother. We are your partner. We are your ally. And now, not only have we betrayed that promise that was made, in the name of the United States of America, with the American flag, what we have done is we have locked these people into their country. We've taken all of those biometrics and records that every Afghan, by the way, who worked on a U.S. base as a contractor or a cleaner or a carpenter or a cook or whatever it was, every Afghan that served with us, every Afghan that was in a diplomatic position, every Afghan in the U.S. embassy, these people were vetted. Their biometrics were taken. All these people out there on all these shows saying, oh my goodness, look at all these terrorists climbing under the planes. They're not even Afghans, some of them. Nonsense. This is propaganda that is being fed to fan the flames of the right so that people on the right are not paying attention. And of course, people on the left are not paying attention because we're all being canalized into our, you know, divisive channels. And what we're ignoring is that these people are being hunted. These people who served with the U.S., do you know, Steve, can you imagine this, Doug? Imagine that there are soldiers, special operations commanders, who were wounded in battle, fighting with us a few months ago, in the last few months, who are in hospital today, abandoned by the U.S. Their salaries haven't been paid. They can't pay their medical bills. Their families are being hunted. They're being hunted, some of them too wounded to flee. What would you feel? How would you feel about the people, the government, the nation that did that to you? The Biden administration knows exactly what they're doing right now. They are not doubling down. They're not backtracking. They're not saying, oh my goodness, look at all these desperate Afghans. What have we done? This didn't go as planned. And we need to take action here to stop this. That's not what they're doing. No, what they're doing is lying about it. They are pretending, because to their followers, to the people who don't listen to your show or who never watch Fox News or who only, you know, sort of stay in certain circles, they don't know that half of this is happening. They literally believe that when the president says, We did an amazing job withdrawing, and our only other option was an endless war, and Americans were tired of war. And so, you know, we can't make the Afghans believe in democracy if we want. It's a failed experiment. Excuse me? Excuse me? The desire of people everywhere on earth to live freely does not belong to America. It wasn't invented by America. It is a human condition. The Spartans fought for the right to live freely. But what America is, or what America was the beacon, the light of that idea of freedom for the whole world. And as the acting president of Afghanistan, Amrullah Saleh, said to me in an interview just a few months ago, America is the light for people everywhere. If the light goes out here, the whole world is in darkness. And he talked about America as a generous nation, a nation of compassion that shares its wealth, that shares its homes, that shares its understanding. And what has happened to us, to all of us, is that we have been redefined on the world stage. What you are looking at is the end of American power, the end of authority, moral authority, influence. You may be a superpower, but you're only using 10% of your advanced military capability. What's the point of having the other 90%? What is the point? There is none. We're isolated on the world stage. Our allies don't trust us. Nobody would dare sign up to help us in their right minds, because when we're done with them, we won't just betray you. We'll lock the doors, hand over everything your enemies need, and let them slit your throats while we elevate your enemy at terrorist groups backed by the most powerful adversaries this nation has. And we will elevate you to the status of a nation state while we betray our allies. And not only that, but we will lie to our people for you. So for me, my opinion, based on my experience and what I know and what I've seen, is that the only people that hate this country more than Al-Qaeda and all of the other people who share their ideology are the people in this country who are doing this to America today.
Well, Laura, one of the things that is really problematic too is you've been getting phone calls from people you know that you love, and a lot of them aren't dead, or they're running for their lives. What's this, the people that you were in bed with, the military, you know a lot of them, they're your friends, you've worked with them, you've been in the battlefield with them, but what is the attitude of the American servicemen and women over there right now who are absolutely livid that they're supposedly fighting to defend the freedoms of America? What kind of response are you getting back from them?
The response is pretty much universal, Steve. You know, these soldiers faced a choice, and it was instant. They made it instinctively. There are active duty service members and veterans who couldn't live with themselves and cannot live with this. So they're doing everything humanly possible to help as many people as they can. The best way I can describe it is for all of you who know and have seen the extraordinary series Band of Brothers. This is a band of brothers, and it is a band of brothers that stretches from the Afghan battlefield to every state in this nation. And it goes beyond the active duty and beyond the veterans to every decent American and every decent person, from the vineyards of California to the flyover country that they hate so much on the coast, to literally people you would never expect. Democrats, Republicans, independents. This is not a partisan issue. This is about who we are as a nation and who you are as a person. You know, I don't know about you, Steve, but I don't betray my friends. That's not what kind of person I am. I don't betray my colleagues. You know, America, what is the ultimate symbol? Who created the superheroes? Who created Captain America and Marvel Comics and Superman, you know, Batman, Spider-Man? I mean, that is how America has always been defined. And I, you know, I'm a South African. I'm an immigrant who made my home here. My children are born here, and my husband is from here. And I have lived the ideals of America all my life as a white South African growing up in a country I couldn't live with myself until there was, you know, equal rights and freedom and justice for everyone. And I saw those ideals being fought for. I saw people who embodied them. I know what this means. When the president of Afghanistan says to me, this nation is the light for all of us. I was part of that world that is being cast into darkness. Do you remember what Winston Churchill said during the Second World War when he said, the lights are going out all over Europe and they may never be lit again in our lifetime. Steve and Doug, I can only tell you that after weeks of trying to help people who were on the run, good people who have stood by America, who believe in living free, who are Muslim and who are Afghan and proud Afghans and have given everything, these people, you cannot imagine what it was like to be trying to help them and move them to gates where there are notices coming out of the U.S. from the State Department and other avenues saying, go to this gate, they'll be opened. And having this hope, having to take people out of hiding, take them out of their safe houses, take them with their children, move them into these places, get them all to the right places, move them again when the Taliban is coming. The Taliban, you're on the phone with them, and the Taliban is beating them, beating their children, whipping the women. And this is all in full view of U.S. soldiers. This is at the gates of the airport. People really don't understand that here are the gates of the airport all around. And at all these different gates are U.S. soldiers. And the Taliban comes and they're trapped. And they flank them and they're behind them. And the entire time you're going to the Pentagon, the White House, the State Department, congressmen, to senators. You're going to JSOC, to Fort Bragg, to the Special Operations Command, and veterans are calling generals, and everybody is begging the U.S. not to turn their back on not just the American citizens, not just the special interest visas, but the priority one and priority two categories that the State Department has, who are people that these are the most vulnerable, the most high-risk Afghans, people who worked in the intelligence agencies, you know, who worked hand in hand helping this country. And they're at the gates. And the only thing standing between them and safety are those gates and those American forces. And they're screaming for help, begging for help. I'm screaming down the phone trying to talk to these soldiers. And what do I hear? Get back or we'll shoot you. Get back or we'll shoot. That's, and they're screaming. They're saying they're going to shoot us. They're going to shoot us. They're going to shoot us. And I'm like, you're unarmed civilians. These are American soldiers. They cannot shoot you. They will not shoot you. It would be a war crime. What must we do? What must we do? And, you know, in one place, the suicide bomb went off and there's gunfire. The children are screaming. People are running. I mean, all of these families. I know one friend, a veteran who was trying to help people. Two of the families that she was helping were wiped out. I mean, they were killed. So when you're making these decisions, when you've got, you know, I've got 165 people I'm trying to help, many of whom work for 60 Minutes, some of whom work for the U.S. government, many of whom actually assisted the U.S. government, helped to build their bases and build their diplomatic facilities and commanded Afghan forces. These are people who've been vetted. These are people who, by the way, I love when the State Department says, they need to have an S-1 approved visa application and where's their paperwork? Do you know that the people who've been in the fight, who were fighting up until a few weeks ago, they don't have paperwork, Steve, because they didn't want to leave. They risked everything to fight for their country, to fight for Afghanistan. And they've never applied for a visa. And now, you know what they are? They're screwed. And when Kabul was collapsing, because the Taliban came in and Al-Qaeda, they came in with bucket loads of money from Qatar and from Pakistan and from China, and they bought their way in. They also knew exactly what the U.S. plan for withdrawal was. We asked the Taliban to give our forces protection, so they knew where to be, where to stage, when to attack, when not to attack. They had the timeline. I mean, this isn't just a betrayal. This is literally the greatest adversary that our allies today in Afghanistan have is the United States of America. And beneath all of this is this sense of deep, deep, deep pain and betrayal. Because, you know, it's kind of like when someone you really care about does something to you that they shouldn't. And you know the friendship is over because there's no coming back from it. Because it says to you that this person isn't what you thought. They aren't who they say they are. And, you know, you would be, I mean, you would be so foolish to believe them again because the depth of the betrayal is unimaginable. Well, that's where we are right now. And I want to bring it back for this last point to this. The hatred that that breeds will survive for generations. When you combine that with the capability that we have given these people to not just train soldiers who know how we fight and know how we think, but train the trainers so that they can keep these people. We can keep armies, terrorist armies that will fight us forever. Your children, my children, our grandchildren, beyond that, our great-grandchildren. You know, and at the same moment, no one trusts us. You can't do it alone. The United States is no longer a superpower. We just don't know what we're looking at because without the bases in Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan and Uzbekistan, without the convoys that can come through and the supply lines and the logistics and everything, you know, if you're attacked on every front all over the world, if China takes Taiwan and Israel is attacked by Iran and others, you know, how are you going to defend yourself if you're spread thin across the world? You're going to need allies, and you're going to need allies that are really your allies, not just your allies in name, but secretly making deals behind your back with other people. And make no mistake, right? Pakistan is Al-Qaeda and the Taliban's number one ally. This is their invasion. This is their proxy army. I mean, where are the leadership of the Taliban? Where have they been located for the last 20 years? In the Pakistani cities of Quetta, Peshawar, and Miram Shah. And, you know, the U.S. could find an ISIS bomb maker in a couple of hours, right? This is the president of Afghanistan, Amrullah Saleh, said this. They found one ISIS chicken in a few hours. But in 20 years, they couldn't find the leadership of the Taliban inside Pakistan, right? You couldn't find any of them. Couldn't find any of those Al-Qaeda guys either who have now come back, right? So, you know, for all those people who think this is about endless war, don't be deceived by the people betraying you because they intend to destroy this country. Who will fight for this kind of military? Who wants their child? Would you encourage your child to go into the army today? I already know the answer to that. You know, a Green Beret I spoke to yesterday, his daughter deregistered from ROTC. That is what they want. Because the people who hate this country, their agenda is actually, they wrap it up in lots of nice big bows, you know, and say it's about social justice and this and that. But what it's really about is the end of American power and the end of America itself. If you believe in an open border, if you believe that any form of patriotism is white supremacy and a form of terrorism and hate, then you don't believe in borders. Then you don't believe in America, do you? You don't believe in the flag. You don't believe in patriotism. That's not what you believe in. Well, you're in luck because your greatest allies in this fight are the terrorists who carried out the attack on 9/11 and who don't intend to stop until this country no longer exists.
Steve, easily the most important several minutes in broadcasting history, I believe, with Laura. We've got about 4 minutes left, Steve, so go ahead.
Well, Laura, just absolutely, you made the statement, and we're losing allies all over the world. People, when Afghanistan fell, and I'm talking about we bailed on the people, tell what comes next.
What I see all the building blocks for, the U.S. has been really carrying out a shaping operation to justify recognizing the Taliban Islamic Emirate as the legitimate government of Afghanistan. When they do that, the betrayal will be set, in a sense, because now that will give them an unprecedented level of power and credibility. And they are right next to Iran. And what people probably don't know is that, for example, the head of intelligence for the Taliban is in this new emirate is very close to the leader of the IRGC in Iran. In fact, one of the senior advisors to the new head of the Taliban's emirate is another person very close to the head of the IRGC in Iran. And the two of them ran the Taliban's training camps that were set up and run by the IRGC inside Tehran, right? So these links are very, very close. If you read, if you go onto jihadi websites and or read any of the analysts who study them, Hezbollah and Hamas and all of these other people, this is the greatest victory they have ever seen. It goes beyond any of their wildest dreams. As formidable as Hezbollah is, they have never achieved anything of this nature. And on their own, it would have been impossible. Without the United States, none of this would have been possible. Like, we had to do this in order for it to happen. And what I often say to people, especially when they are, you know, this has been devastating for so many people, because Americans are good at heart. They are, and they do strive to be a great nation. And they do have a real sense of humanity. And this has been stripped from every one of us. And just because you're going about your daily business and, you know, you're switching channels and, or you want to blame, you know, point it at Trump and this and Biden and Obama and whatever, whatever, you know, and you want to be in your camps and play into their hands, it doesn't change the fact that this is happening. It is happening. The United States today is the most shameful nation on earth. It is defined entirely by this moment of betrayal and drenched in the blood of our allies and our own soldiers, our own people. We have dishonored those who died on 9/11. We've dishonored everybody who fought for them. We've dishonored the wounded who are still living with their injuries. I mean, remember, there are soldiers in this country whose faces were burned off. I mean, I know soldiers who got half a body and sometimes an arm missing, and maybe their eyesight too. I mean, this isn't just about Afghanistan, and it never was just about Afghanistan. What you are going to see happen is all of these terrorist organizations and the nation states who are standing by them, they are now no longer afraid of the United States of America. They do not fear the U.S. You have U.S. soldiers deployed across the Middle East. These bases, these units, they're all at risk because nobody fears the U.S. anymore. They don't fear us because they know we're eating ourselves alive from within. They know that we are their greatest ally in the dismantling of America, and not just the United States, but the idea of freedom itself. The idea of living freely and aspiring to that has been destroyed, because no one in any oppressed country anywhere, why would you have the courage to stand up and risk everything to fight for that, if the greatest nation on earth that embodies freedom has told you it's not worth fighting for? And by the way, when they come for you, not only will we betray you, not only will we not stand by you, but we're going to take the knife for them. We're going to hold it for them and let them get better adjusted to make sure they have a good grip as they slit your throat. I mean, what else is giving them the lists of everyone who has applied for special interest visas to the United States? What is that? You know what it is? As one veteran said to me, we're all struggling. We've got these manifests. You've got families. You're listing people on 100 different manifests to try and get them vetted and to get them on these planes. And you're trying to tell families that start with 5 family members. Then they say they've got 9 family members. And you say, well, you can't bring 9 family members. What are you going to say to them? Choose which of your children get to live and which get to die. Which of your brothers, which of your sisters? Is it going to be your mother or is it going to be your wife? You know, this is what we've been asking people to do. And we've all got these lists. And one of them said to me, my guy was looking at me. This is a Delta operator, right? He said, my guy's looking at me and we're trying to do these lists. And he says to me, I feel like I'm holding Schindler's List in my hand.
Wow.
And we are. We are holding Schindler's List in our hands. All of us who are trying to help these people. And what happened with Schindler's List? The Americans gave that list to the Nazis, didn't they? That's what we've done.
Laura Logan, Steve, we are absolutely out of time. Folks, Global, I want to say thank you to Laura Logan. Thank you to Fox and Fox Nation. Laura, thank you so much for being such an intrepid truth teller. God bless you. Steve, thank you so much. Follow Laura on Twitter, at Laura Logan on Twitter. Fox and Fox Nation, thank you. God bless you, both Steve and Laura. Tomorrow in studio, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny and Coach Dave Dobmar. Good night.